Jamie and Locker with you on a Wednesday afternoon. That is always a good tune to play here on the Green Zone. As still to come, Reed Wilkins on the future of Connor McDavid. Will it be in Edmonton? Matthew Tkachuk last night. He'll win one day, wherever it'll be. The beautiful troll job by Matthew Tkachuk last night. But he's not the only one. Media already around the NHL, specifically out of Toronto, are talking about if Edmonton's the right spot for
PK Subban was doing it too.
Yeah. Oh, TNT, ESPN, whatever. ESPN with PK Subban. Yeah. Anyways, let's get Daryl's take on last night's Game 6.
Save that stuff for a slow day, news day.
A double take with Daryl Davis.
So, Daryl Davis. Yes. McDavid's going to be in Edmonton long term. Locker and I believe it'll be, what, 3 weeks we're...
Do you think they'll sign him this summer? You do, right? I don't think they'll do. I think they'll do it just before the beginning of the season,
like what they did with Drysdale's extension. What What do you think, Daryl? I don't think there's McDavid staying in.
Yeah,
Edmonton.
You can't be a general manager in Edmonton and let him go, trade him away. Man, there's Dan Bowman's already in enough grief, isn't he, for not making trades at the deadline and not bolstering up their team the way the Florida Panthers did. So he can't make a move like that, man. That's a career suicide.
It wouldn't be an Edmonton move. This would be a Connor McDavid decision, mm-hmm. like Mitch Marner, of I'm just going to go through the final year and then see what happens next year. Mm-hmm. Stan Bowman and the Oilers will absolutely be trying to get Connor McDavid, but of course... To fill there's, articles and podcasts, you bring it up.
They're one team away from being a champion, right? So all you have to do is make the general manager find the guys who they've put into Florida's lineup. That type of player. Add three or four of them,
yeah,
and then you've got a team.
That's
with
what Dreisaitl, I said.
With Dreisaitl and McDavid and a little better goaltending.
Sam Bennett's a free agent. Go get that guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I don't think Sam's leaving Florida. I'll say that again.
Really?
I think he'll stay. I think... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I think Marchand is probably more likely to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between Edmonton's, you know, McDavid being an Oiler and making a decision one way or the other, like where would he go? Like, is everyone's like he's going to go to the Leafs? Well, the Leafs are a bit of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather stay with a team that didn't get the final prize, but got there at least got to the finish line a couple of mm-hmm. times? Or would you rather go to a team that is probably going to, what did you say? What did you say about the Leafs?
What?
They're going to tear it down.
Yeah, they're tearing it down.
Yeah. Right?
Well, kind of.
Quite a bit.
They're going to keep two or three pieces and then build around them.
Well, and that's kind of what Edmonton's got to do too, right? They've got the two best pieces in the league, basically, and they can't win mm-hmm. with it. But you are only one jump away.
Yeah.
So it's easier to get to second place and then find a couple of pieces to go. Even Rod Brindamore, when Carolina lost, what did he say? Said, are you going to change your style? No, he said, Florida is showing us how to win. We just got to get that little bit better to make sure that we can beat them.
I think Rod said that we showed Florida how to win.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of an ego when it comes to
they do have a tough team, and they compete as closely to Florida as any team in the National Hockey League.
But... The Oilers are going to be back. I have no doubt that I'm not going to guarantee next year they're going to be back. But in the next five years under Connor McDavid, there's going to be several deep runs for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, how can you not when you're that good? You know, they need a goalie, right, I'm thinking, or two, and a defenseman who doesn't play a giveaway like Bouchard does. Here, you have the puck. I don't want it.
There were three or four
times. Is Bouchard redeemable, though?
No, not now.
You don't think so?
That was horrendous last night, man. That was like me out on the ice just saying, here, okay, take it.
They're just too soft. Like on the boards, behind the net, Barkov just would go in there and whoop. I know he's the best defensive forward in the league and can do that stuff, but it was, and Bouchard's like, oh, where'd he go? And then the giveaway at the blue line. Everybody said Ekholm, bad pass into the feet. Okay. But Bouchard had more than enough time. He gathered the puck up again and then whoop,
give away
Reinhart. And he dipsy doodles around Matthias Ekholm.
Turnovers.
Yeah.
Passing basketball, too.
And it wasn't just that last night. There were more than a couple of times during this series where Bouchard made questionable decisions. And again, I think it's just I think they've given him a little too much freedom, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas you talk about Florida, you talk about that structure and how they've simplified the game and everyone's on board. Whereas Bouchard, they give him the puck and they let him go with it. And then he gets himself into trouble sometimes.
Well, yeah, but that's all he can do, right? He can't play defense, so you have to tell him to play offensively. And he ain't no Paul Coffey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also a lot to do. Paul Coffey. A lot to do with who is on the other side with him, too.
Oh, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, they haven't got much else, you know. Yeah, like, yeah. They don't good have thing, a Jones or an Ekblad, which is not a bad couple of defensemen.
Good thing they didn't they got rid of the Nurse-Bouchard pairing. That was one of the smarter moves Chris Knobloch made down the in the playoffs.
You want to talk about anxiety? When I saw those two step out on the ice, I was always like, what are you doing? Stop it.
Anyways, the Dairy Queen thing. Did Locker make a mistake by going to Dairy
Queen? Guys, don't you have anything important to talk about? Jeez. Scotty said, tell him just, I'm not going to get involved in this one. Like, usually I'll wade into anything, but come on, you guys.
It's him. He's all the jerseys. You can't do this. Can't voice a promo. He's doing all these things, but then he goes to Dairy Queen last night.
You two are spending too much time together.
Like, oh my goodness.
My wife wanted a blizzard.
Well, tell her to go get a blizzard then.
So you kind of understand where I'm coming at.
A little bit
hypocritical on all these other things. Yeah, but then, no, go to the one place that the Florida Panthers have been known to be going through these playoffs.
Did you get one, too?
I did get I didn't get a blizzard. I got a dip cone.
One of my favorites.
Your favorite hockey team was playing in the Stanley Cup final, and you left?
I zipped over between the second and the third quickly. I missed maybe 2 minutes of the third period. I was already well aware of what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah, it was 3-0. Like, did anybody think the Oilers were coming back?
They seemed to really pack it in last night. There seemed to be a line when they said, well, we can't do it anymore. So that's not a good sign.
A double take with Double D, Darrell Davis here on the Green Zone. We're going to get to the Riders ahead of the Argos and much more, including a new potential baseball stadium for Regina. But what about that traffic? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. See the love in my woman's eye. Jamie Locker and Hall of Fame reporter Darrell Davis on a double take with Double D. No Sam Emilis this week for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Now down Kian Schaefer-Baker and now Sam Emilis. What do you think their chances are against the Toronto Argonauts?
Well, Jamie and Locker, we've talked a lot about the depth they have at Canadian receiver. It's certainly being tested, isn't it? Right? The good thing they have Mitch Pickton, Del Duncan Busby, the second-year player, steps forward, and Joe Robustelli, who looks like he can catch everything thrown at him, is going to step into the receiving role for the Rough Riders. Because we were all practice talking that over on Tuesday, weren't we, Locker?
We all kind of noticed that was happening, right?
What they're doing, yeah. So, you know what? Without Chad Kelly, the Citizen of the Year, Chad Kelly, isn't that what we call him around here?
Yeah.
CFL Citizen of the Year. I think that they're not the same football team. We thought that Nick Arbuckle could just step in for the Argos as he did last year in the Grey Cup, and that they would have Cameron Dukes ready to step in too, and they've cut Cameron Dukes. Looks like they've picked up a new running back, right? So,
Kevin Brown, they cut him at this. He and Kadeem Carey were at camp. They cut both of them.
I know. Two of the
and
best
now they
backs.
Brought. Kevin Brown back, they're probably regretting that they cut Kadeem Carey.
Kevin Brown's a pretty good running back. I can't believe that they let him go either. That was one of the surprise cuts during training camp. But Toronto's not the same team. They, you know, maybe they think they can keep doing it. John Murphy, their general manager, thinks, do whatever you want. I'll bring in great guys. But eventually that string ends, and it looks like maybe it's ended. But you know what? Somehow or other, they seem to pull something out. They do have some good players. Murphy does find some good players. That's
for
sure.
Well, we were talking about that earlier, right? Like with Britain, about if there's a team that can bounce back quickly and surprisingly, it's the Argos, right?
Seems to be. Yeah, they always have a couple of superstars, but I you know, the Rough Riders just they've been so impressive, even though they're missing people. They just there's a calmness. That's kind of what I'm writing about before this game, Jamie Locker. That there's a calmness on the sidelines. The coach, even when Corey Mace, the head coach, threw the challenge flag, you know, he's pretty calm about the whole thing. They didn't see it, but he goes up, explains it. They get the play redone because of how he deals with it. And they just, their penalties are way, way down this year. They haven't had to scramble to win. They've come back from 7-0 deficits and taken the lead and held on firmly. So I think they're a good team. I think they're going to come out of Toronto 3-0. And the reigning Grey Cup champions are going to be 0-3.
The temperament of Corey Mace—that's something we haven't really talked much about.
Has it changed this year?
No,
it's not like it's changed, but he's just
even calmer. He's a low burn individual, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like he's not. Most coaches would be sprinting down the field, cussing out the ref.
Yep.
And he just ran down there, threw it, and then this is what I did. I got the. Got it out before, and okay.
I asked about it on Tuesday.
Kind of chuckled.
I just worry about chewing my gum. He said. I said, go ahead, tell us what type of gum you make, you buy and chew, because we'll get you a promotion. I should get a promotional thing. I don't know. He says it's got this big five on it. Jacob Carr from CKTV, from CTV said, well, it's called Five Gum, right? Oh, well, maybe they'll promote that, Corey Mason.
He was also walking around with a big 30 box of Timbits offering.
30, that was a 50.
That was a 50?
Oh, he even gave it to the media, to the reporters, yeah.
He was...
And then every once in a while, you'd see him reach in and sneak one, right? Because he always teases himself about how he eats sometimes.
But. He's a Don't Air fan, too. Last time we chatted with him, he was, I got to go. I got to go. Got to meet a Don't Air.
He was outside of his Don't Air
waiting
place.
To go
he, yeah, he was waiting to go in.
Another good story, real quick. At Father's Day, somebody asked him what he got for Father's Day. One of his daughter, I don't know his whole family situation, but his daughter made him a kind of a greenish S logo in black and gray. And he said, what's this? She says, this is the Rough Riders in the smoke, she said.
Kids pick up this.
I know. That was pretty cute.
Most hilarious thing. All right, real quick. Are you, it's in your call, it sounds like you want them to build a new baseball stadium in Regina.
Yes, the state, I've been going to, since I was 5 years old, I've been going to that stadium with Jimmy and watch the Red Sox play. And now they
played at that stadium.
I know, and it's the same bleachers and the same sunflower seeds under the bleachers. Don't fall down, you'll die in those peanut shells, right? But they haven't changed it forever. The Red Sox, what they've done with Gary Brotzel and Bernie Eisworth when he started, they still run a franchise that's getting more and more respectable. They've never run a loss. They make a little bit of a profit. They've paid all their bills. They don't deserve to be cut into the old garbage dump, which is where their stadium is right now. Move it somewhere. And Jamie... This downtown, this is what I wrote about. It is absolutely deplorable what this city council and these engineers have done to this city. They're killing businesses on Dudney Avenue and 11th because they're doing all this construction in 2, 4, 5, 6 different places. Do it in one place. Get it done and move on. And if you've got, everybody says, can we afford a stadium downtown? I said, have you seen how downtown Regina is rotting? You cannot afford not to put something downtown. So get something built. And let's play baseball there. Use it for soccer. Use it for Mosaic. Use it for festivals, for Bazaar, for everything. You can use it as a multi-purpose facility. It's not just for sports. It's a gathering place to give us a place that we can go to if there is traffic flow through this city.
Yeah, and I had a hard time picking up on your frustration in your article that you just released about that, too.
Yeah, it was pretty subtle on that one, eh? Yeah. As I am now. Jamie pushed a button. We've talked about this a few times every opportunity we get, and it's. I know that we get a lot of Saskatoon listeners who are worried about their downtown. Too, and they should be, but Regina right now is really, really disgusting, and City Council and the engineers better get something done around here.
Daryl for Mayor! Jamie and Locker with the Air of the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon, the night after, the day after. The Stanley Cup is awarded for the second straight year to the Florida Panthers, a 5-1 win. Sam Reinhart with 4 goals last night, 2 into an empty net. And
how many times does that happen in a Stanley Cup final?
4 goals?
That can't have happened that many times.
No. But we did the bracket at the start of the playoffs, Locker. Britain almost finished last. I was not too far above that. But I think I was like 1/30th out of... Over 150.
183 people took part, I think.
My fake bracket, the one I ran and just clicked buttons.
Top 10?
No. It was like 70th.
I finished 16th. I would have been top 10
But as we were telling you, only one person out of over 150 people that filled out a bracket, only one picked the Panthers to repeat. So,
Peace Elks, bracket one, with 266 points, is the winner.
Congratulations.
Of our Green Zone bracket.
You win our admiration and praise.
Yeah, he's the only one that
only one who picked Florida
to win the Stanley Cup final.
By the way, my burner account finished in the top 10.
Jamie Nyes, N-I-G-H. Finished 8th.
They also run a burner account on X. They keep it quite respectful. I thank them for that. And finished in the top 10. So
there you go.
I don't even want to look. I was like 130th.
I had both teams in the final losing in the first round. That is how poorly I did.
I was the guy who said the Oilers, like mid-season, Oilers are still going to win the cup. 2 months before the playoffs, Oilers are still going to get there. And then right when the playoffs happen, what do?
The Kings are going to win. What a dumb.
Okay. Let's get to Reed Wilkins, Edmonton Sports Talk.
I still can't find you.
Edmonton, you keep scrolling. I'm way down there, just above Britain. Keep going. Edmonton Sports Talk host Reed Wilkins of the Reed Wilkins Show. We want to talk about the future of Connor McDavid. But first off, Reed, are you emotionally prepared for what's going to happen probably from media content people out of Toronto? Of should Connor McDavid stay in Edmonton to win a cup?
Well, I'm emotionally prepared for it, A, because I don't get too emotional about it, and B, it's just so easy to ignore at this point. I mean, it's Toronto people yell at cloud. Like, I saw this guy, I don't even know the guy's name, might have been Ben Ellis or Ben Ennis. I think he's a morning show host in Toronto on one of the sports stations. And his tweet was something like Stanley Cups, Matthews 0, McDavid 0. I'm like, okay, that's an interesting take. And then he writes, plus minus in loss to Panthers, Matthews even, McDavid minus 7. And I'm like, what are you proving? Like, plus how many empty net goals is McDavid on the ice for? I'm like, so your argument is that Matthews is actually a better player because he had a better plus minus? You know, like it's pathetic the lengths they will try to go to disparage McDavid and disparage Edmonton. And like both you guys lived here, you know what it's like with other parts of the country. Edmonton's a terrible place to live. There's nothing to do. The population is 40,000.
All they got is a mall.
people only like the Oilers because there's nothing to do. Like, give me a break. Like how much time do we have? Couple quick stories. So when I used to work at Ched, I worked on this show called Oilers Now that Bob Stauffer hosts. He still does. And David Staples was on the show, and there was a lot of talk about the arena deal. And Staples was saying how he was on a show in Toronto, and the host was like, well, why does Edmonton need a new arena? And then, okay, well, he lays out Northland's old facility. And he's like, yeah, but it's not big enough to get a new arena. Like, what's the population, like 300,000? And Staples was like, no, it's pretty much a million, especially if you include all the suburbs. Like, it's just, like, it's maddening. And I've been using the argument when people are like, well, yeah, people in Edmonton cheer for the Oilers because there's nothing to do. And I'm like, really? So people in New York are passionate about the Yankees because there's nothing to do? Like, people cheer for the Oilers because they're the legitimate part of the fabric of the city, and people legitimately care and tie it into their hobbies and their interests and their passions, and it means something to talk about it with your family and your friends and your coworkers. It's one of the things that bonds us here. You guys understand that. It's not because Edmonton is a crap place to live or it's too small, but nobody, like, certain parts of the country don't want to take the time to learn that or appreciate it. They just want to say, oh, loser city. Oh, I saw it snow. It was minus 30 on December 15th. Look at all those losers in the cold. Like, it's tiresome, you guys. It's tiresome. And I know parts of your province get it, and Winnipeg gets it and all this kind of stuff. It's just tiresome. It's lowest common denominator. It's not intelligent, and that's why I find it, even though I'm talking about it and I saw some stuff, that's why generally I find it quite easy to ignore.
But the big thing is, by the way, applause from the green zone.
I'm so glad we left that open for you.
How big's the number going to be in 2 weeks? I imagine it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks. The extension is signed, 8 years.
Away we go.
X amount of dollars, Reed. What do you think that figure is going to be per year for Connor McDavid's extension with the Oilers?
Yeah, I wonder when it will be, because didn't Leon's wait until, well, no, Leon's was September whatever, because it was the first day my show launched. It was right after Labor Day. It was the day
perfect
my show
time.
Launched. Here
Did they do that for you?
I think Leon probably thought that, yeah, because I'm the one media guy he doesn't think is pissy. But I guess he was the one accused of being pissy, not the media guy. I don't know what the number was going to be. I guess it'll probably be, because what's Leon gone up to, 14 or 14 and a half?
14 even.
Wouldn't it be cool if Connor just matched it?
I said that, and everyone thought I was nuts.
No, he's not, Matt. I'm putting it at almost 17 or 18 because Leon signed before all this projection of how high the cap's going to go. So I'm going 17 to 18 mil.
17 is the number that pops into my head. Wouldn't it be amazing, guys, if he just came out and said, I've made enough money.
I'm going to do it for 9.7 million like Sidney Crosby.
The Crosby thing. Or even come out and say, you know what? You know how much money I have in the bank? I built a house in Edmonton. I probably got a house in Muskoka or wherever he goes in the summer. Probably has one, you know, near his parents. I don't know if he does or not. You know, he's helped his wife own. Remember the old Japanese village near the library, Jamie?
Yep.
Both you guys?
Yep. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
her bar now. That's her bar now.
Yeah.
Nice old building. I'm sure he's funded that. No problem. Like, wouldn't it be great if he just said, you know what? I got enough to live.
I wouldn't really be surprised.
My colleagues.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does a team-friendly deal, hometown discount.
Well, if he wants to win a cup.
Yeah.
He wants to win. And
then why is it such a crazy conversation? Every time it gets brought up, everyone's like, he's going to get 20 mil.
The agents and the PA, right? The agents and the Players Association. Yeah. Then he lowers the bar for everybody else that's trying to sign an extension. There is that pressure to
McDavid's
make
on
it
Sid.
Better for everybody else.
He's on Sid level, though, with respect to that. I think there's rules for players, and then there's Sid's, and there's McDavid's. And I, Reed, I'm with you. I bet you he does something similar to that.
So like a 15?
Yeah, around a Draisaitl thing. Anyway.
So, Reed, here's the final question. In 365 days from today, are we having another postmortem on the Edmonton Oilers? And I'm not going to say win or lose the Stanley Cup. And I'm not going to do that. But is this team still set up to be back there? Because another thing I've seen is, the window's about to close on the Oilers. And I'm like, come on. With Leon and McDavid in their late 20s, please, the window's nowhere close to shut.
No. Well, look how Corey Perry is playing. And I know this player, I don't think he won a cup. No, Pavelski never won a cup. Look at Pavelski's stats until he was 38.
Yeah.
And he was never even on the level of some of these other guys. I guess depending on the offseason moves, but if you look at how they went through the playoffs, I think you still have to favor the Oilers in the West, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, let's just look. Okay, disappointing Stanley Cup final, obviously. But let's look at what happened. They beat the team that was built specifically to beat the Oilers. And once they got rolling, they beat them 4 games in a row against L.A. They beat the big, bad, miserable you-know-whats, as I call them, the Vegas Golden Knights. It was tense, but they were fine. And then after the first game against Dallas, well, even most of the first game against Dallas, they pretty much...
They steamrolled Dallas.
Humiliated the Dallas Stars. You know, so... I know Winnipeg's good. Other teams are going to work to get better, but I think you still would have to list the Oilers as the big boy in the Western Conference.
Reed, very much appreciate your time this afternoon. Have an enjoyable summer, although I imagine how many weeks are we away from a Ryder Elk game to have you talk football with us?
Well, the bigger question is how many weeks are we away from an Elks win? My God.
Not this week against Montreal, but we'll see how that goes. When do they play Calgary? Sorry. Reed, appreciate your time. Thanks for it, and have a great show.
Okay, thanks for having me.
That is Reed Wilkins. EdmontonSportsTalk.com is where you can find the Reed Wilkins Show and all the great content those gentlemen do on a daily basis.
I'm a fan.
It's not a podcast. It is a live radio station on the internet. Reed corrected me on that earlier today because I said I was the podcast. But no, it's not a podcast. It's a live radio station on the interweb. EdmontonSportsTalk.com.
They released it as a podcast afterwards, though.
Matthew Iwanek, Dusty Nielsen, Tom Gazzola, Reed Wilkins. You've gotten to know them during these Stanley Cup playoffs, and we thank them for all the times they've hopped on our program to assess things with the Edmonton Oilers. Run again. So close to a Stanley Cup championship. Champs and one more than deserving piece of bleep for Chump on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Each and every day, Champs and Chumps. The Chump is Conor McGregor, despite scoring his first knockout since 2020. But this one happens at a pub. In Spain, he gets in a brief verbal exchange with another patron. And then Conor McGregor, the UFC-trained behemoth of a human being. What is it, two shots? It was two, pop. He's just holding the drink in one hand.
He hit him with his left. So the guy said something to him that he was not happy with, and he popped him. And then he came back at him, and he popped him again, and he barely moved. But it was clear that he knocked him out. I will say this.
Conor McGregor is a violent, dangerous human being.
He's a violent, dangerous human being. So
this isn't the first time.
No, and he should be aware of the fact that he shouldn't be, you know, like, he's got to control himself in public. But who's trying to get under Conor McGregor's skin? Someone really dumb. Then got knocked out by two lefts in a pub in Spain.
Let's get to a champ. J.J. Spahn, U.S. Open champion. He's looking for wine suggestions from Victor Hovland, his playing partner in the final round of the U.S. Open, as Hovland's ball on the 18th hole was a few feet further away than Spahn's. And Spahn said there is no way he makes this putt.
Don't need to make it. Two putts.
Spahn is asking Victor Hovland, pick the most expensive bottle of wine you can find, because there's no way I hole that putt without the read he gave on the previous putt. Spahn can afford it now. He won $4.3 million as the U.S. Open champion.
Maybe something French?
From the Champagne region, maybe?
Bordeaux?
Do you know, Victor Hovland should call our friend Matt Cause. I bet you he has a nice...
I've been listening to Matt's wine. It's way over my head. Like, he knows his wine. Like, but he's quite funny.
His sports show's way over my head.
Yeah.